Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we'll be chatting with L.J. Hoschmeister. I hope I said your name right. about inspiration and her many books. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, Sherry. I really appreciate it.
I hope I didn't mess up your name too badly.
It's okay. It's a brutal German last name. The way the American pronunciation is Hackmeister, but I'll take anything. It's fine. Just LJ.
I think there was an author named Hosh something else, and that's where I just kind of pushed it together.
That's okay. Believe me, I get so many variations.
Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Okay. Well, I am an author of science fiction fantasy. I'm also a nurse, and I've been writing for as long as I've been a nurse practicing, so the two just kind of came to fruition together, which is kind of cool. So I've been doing it since about 2002. A secret between you, me, and the audience, I really do enjoy science fiction fantasy, like writing in that genre. I don't actually enjoy reading it, which is very strange to my readers, but the reason I chose that genre is because I have complete freedom in the world, and I can make anything possible, which I really enjoy.
What is your favorite genre?
My favorite genre to read, I'm actually pretty obsessed right now with nonfiction and true survival stories. I don't know what it is about it. I think part of it is I enjoy when everything is taken away, like all the fluff and all that is temporary in society and our daily experience, like what's left. And so the most recent book I read, pulling it off my shelf as we speak, was Miracle in the Andes. I really enjoyed that. Just anything that, you know, I'm fascinated with what people discover when they are pushed to the edge, or even near-death experiences. I enjoyed Proof of Heaven and Dying to Be Me, those two books as well.
Oh, gosh. There was this book I read about that. Shirley MacLaine recommended it, and I read it. And I can't remember. It's Life After Life or something. I think that was the name of it. It was really interesting. It was the beginning of the white light and all that stuff. And it is fascinating. I like to read everything. I like a smorgasbord. I usually read more than one book at a time, so I drive people crazy. Right now I haven't had it being much time to read, but I love to read anything.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I don't know why I've kind of fallen into this. It's not something that I would have expected of myself like 10 years ago, but I'm just really fascinated by it, and it's definitely influenced my work, because every author has shared with what they found, either in their near-death experience or surviving some, you know, horrible atrocity, has just been so inspirational, and that has really motivated my writing, my characters, and this is actually, now that I'm talking about it, I do remember falling into it when I was researching evil, because I was trying to come up with the most terrible, awful, evil character in my series, especially for my fifth, sixth, and seventh book in my Triarian series, and it took me to a really dark place. Have you ever done that, Sherry? Have you ever researched something like that and found yourself kind of going down a dark path when you're kind of in that?
And then I pushed myself right out of there.
It was awful. I mean, I did. I guess I started reading Tales of the Holocaust, just any story of the survivors, and just the things that I read, just it hurt so bad. I mean, just, I don't know, especially as a nurse, because I care about people and I want them to be happy and healthy. It just, those stories just crushed me. So as I was researching all these dark aspects of, you know, the human mind and soul, I was trying to find something that would kind of bring me out of that, kind of show me the light. So that's, now that I talk about it, I do realize that's how I kind of fell into that. Researching extreme evil, I had to realize something good in mankind, you know. So that's, I think Proof of Heaven was the first book. Have you read that, Proof of Heaven?
No, I haven't read Proof of Heaven. The thing is that you reminded me, because I'm Jewish, we were taught about the Holocaust very young. And the first book, well, the first thing I read about it was in, they gave us like this booklet, and it had a bunch of stories about the Holocaust. But the first novel I ever read was Mila 18. And that book gave me such nightmares that I told my dad, because he gave me the book, I said, I was about 13 or 14. I said, it's giving me nightmares. He goes, so read a comedy, read something else, something that will make you laugh. And you're going to laugh, but the thing I was reading was Agatha Christie. But this is like, it wasn't like a deep, terrible murder. It was the Tommy and Tuppence books, because they're fun. And that's what brought me out. I mean, it's, everybody's different, you know. So I needed something about romance and fun and adventure, and that's what they are. And I was very young. So I understand. You have to pull yourself out of it, or you're just going to dive in, and especially if you're vulnerable.
Yeah, I hate to admit it, but I'm a pretty sensitive person. So doing that research on the most evil people on the planet, just, it really sunk me to a low place. But I'm hoping that what I have found through my research into, you know, near-death experiences and true survivor stories and all those things, all the wonderful things I found out of that will translate into my books, and they will give readers kind of the breath of fresh air they'll need at the end of the series, because my characters do go through a lot, especially since I went through a lot growing up and with all my research.
Did you find that that the inspiration for your stories, they came from your own life, or was it from the surrounding things? Or, I mean, I know you had to research evil, but I'm just, the inspiration for the storyline itself, where did that come from?
So specifically, just so your audience has a background, I've written five of the seven novels in my Triorion series, and that series to me is the closest to my heart, because that was a series that I thought of when I was 7 or 8 years old. You know, I was supposed to be going off to sleep, and I wasn't. I was kind of, you know, just thinking about stuff in bed, and I wanted to imagine myself as a character, and, you know, some, and have some grand adventure, you know, as I was, you know, dreaming off to sleep, but I wanted to have a character that was my own. So I started just, as I was supposed to be paying attention in school and all those things, I started just writing down like cool character ideas and cool storyline ideas, you know, drawing inspiration from the things that, you know, were hot in the 80s, like Star Wars and Aliens and all those things. But as I got older, it became a force a means of escapism, because I started to realize that my characters were getting darker, and the things I was putting them through were pretty tough. And I started to see the reason why. I really struggled about sixth grade is when I realized that I wasn't like other kids. I was having crushes on girls, and this was like totally foreign to me. I had no concept of, I had no language to express it either, because I didn't understand gay and lesbian. It just was not part of the culture that I was in. And, you know, I grew up in basically white suburbia in Illinois. So there was very little diversity, and there was no talk of it. And especially in 1991, when I was in sixth grade, it was foreign. So the inspiration that, you know, your question, the inspiration was my life, because I had to find some way to vent these feelings, and especially since I started to hate myself for being gay and for being different, and not understanding like how to channel all this negative energy, because, you know, sports wasn't good enough, just daily activity wasn't good enough. So I started to create this world as a way to vent that. And as I got older, and it, you know, I basically had a crisis of identity, because I did not want to be gay. I fought against it furiously. I tried to date guys. I tried to do everything possible, because I felt at the time it would be an embarrassment to my friends, my family, like everybody. And so I, it's just crazy when readers come back to me and tell me like, how, this is, you know, especially my first book, the characters go through so much. It's so, they're so tormented. I'm like, well, it parallels my own life. I had to find a way to get rid of this anger, frustration, and these unwanted feelings. So, the first book is pretty tough, but, not to spoil anything, but you know, everything turned out great. I have a great supportive friend, you know, family, friends, and everything turned out all right. But that book basically saved my life, because that book series, I should say, because it was my only for an outlet, and I'm very thankful for it. And I'm not sure if I'll ever write anything with such it just was so raw to me. Everything in there is just so raw and real.
It's really difficult. No, that's a great answer. It's so difficult because you want to reveal yourself, but you don't want to reveal yourself. It's like this push and pull. I recently wrote my memoir, and it was very cathartic because it helped me, but at the same time, it wasn't easy because I'm like, why am I telling people this stuff?
I totally understand. And, you know, somebody said it way better than me, but it's being an author and writing all these things down for other people to read, it's like simultaneously healing and exposing all your deepest wounds.
Yeah.
So and now that I've put four books out, you know, the fifth one, I'll get to that in a minute, but I respect other authors so much more because I know what goes into each page and how much they're just pouring themselves into it. So it's really changed my perspective and appreciation for other writers.
And that's another thing, is that other authors understand that when people tear apart their work, it's like taking your heart and tearing it into pieces. constructive criticism is fine. It's when they get nasty.
Yeah.
I actually had one reviewer said, I wasted paper. I thought that was kind of rude.
Yeah, you know, it still hurts, you know, I'm not going to lie. I'm like any other, I'm not special and I'm sensitive, so anytime somebody critiques my work, it still gets under my skin, but I just think you have to put it out there because I've seen a difference with, and I'm sure you've done this too, where you've had a reader come up to you and say, hey, this really changed my life, this was an inspiration. You know, these characters were there for me in a tough time. One of my favorite readers, her name is Kathy, she told me that it was the only thing that got her through a nasty injury, and that just, I mean, that changed my world. You know, that to me, that made it all worth it. It made it worth all the critiques and or the criticisms and all the people that just wanted to tear it down.
Yeah, it's true. We're at the halfway point, like I promised. I want you to talk about your new book and, you know, any new adventures for your stories or any other new books that you're thinking about writing.
Okay, yeah, it's a lot, which is good, and I'm very happy. I'm sort of in a transitional state right now. I talked a little bit about the Traiarian series. That's my baby. That's my heart and soul. The first four books are out, and those are they follow three siblings who unknowingly possess the power of an ancient evil. And now that I've kind of shared my deep, dark secret, you can probably guess pretty easily that ancient evil was me not wanting to be gay. That was basically the parallel to my own life. So these kids really struggle with what to do with this tremendous power that they have, especially in a war-torn universe where everybody's trying to manipulate them into, you know, fighting for their military. And the first four books kind of deal with that. And the books 5 through 7, which I'm really excited about, it still deals with, you know, coming of age, coming to terms with the aspects of yourself that you're afraid of, don't necessarily want. But this kind of delves into a little bit more dealing with loss and the fear of death, because I realized in my own life, especially since as a nurse, I've seen a lot of death and a lot of injuries that change people's lives forever. I've become sensitive to that. I'm scared when I shouldn't be, but it's been a real problem. So that's sort of where the 5th through 7th books go. And the exciting thing for me is that I really thought I would only be appealing my books to you know, the science fiction fantasy community, but I have found that my most excited readers tend to be non-science fiction fantasy readers, which is, I think, the best compliment to me when I have somebody who swore they would never read the genre, and then they are buying all the books from me, and they're really passionate. So that's a Triarian series. The fifth book is on hold right now because my agent and I are in a wonderful state of transition where, and I don't want to go into it too much because I'm extremely superstitious and don't want to jinx it, but I have to put that that book on hold right now. I'm also putting out a, and this is a mouthful, a prequel parallel series. So it's going to talk about the origins of that ancient evil, and I'm extremely excited about it because it's going to be a YA fantasy, which I have always wanted to do, and that is, it's going to be about a young girl's struggle to survive after her family's curse plunges the world into chaos. So it's basically like Legend of Korra in space and across time. So, and I don't know if you're a Legend of Korra fan, but that is my favorite show of all time. So draw a lot of inspiration for that.
Sounds cute.
Yeah, no, I love that.
And do you have like other things that you work on? Do you have like some people do graphics, some people do screenplays, some people do poetry. Do you have other things that you write?
Oh yes, and I have a wonderful illustrator. I've had, actually worked with several. The one I'm working with right now, her name is Melissa Erickson. My my Triarian series is illustrated. Every chapter has an illustration. I've also worked with Jeremy Aaron Moore, Mike Weber, and Jacob Matthews. They're all very talented, and I really enjoy that kind of putting art to writing. And I also have done a short story, which is going to be in a Dragon Riders anthology. It's part of Kevin J. Anderson's Wordfire Press, so that's coming out soon. Very excited about that because Wordfire Press is phenomenal. They put out a lot of good stuff, and this particular anthology will support a scholarship for aspiring writers to go to one of the business seminars that they run. So, and speaking of inspiration, since I know we kind of talked about that and you know, how it's affected me, that it, being around other authors, probably an inspiring thing to me because I get to hear their war stories and kind of how they came to be where they are. And as you know, it's just, it's tough. The writer's world is really tough, and you have to weather a lot of storms before, you know, even if you can get a broader audience, it's just, it's really tough. It's the toughest thing that I've ever done.
Yeah. What do you find the hardest thing is promotion? Because that's the hardest thing for most writers.
Well, you know, actually, Rebecca, Kevin Anderson's wife, said it best. She said, your greatest enemy is not other writers, it's bad writing. And I think promoting myself has been so tough because the good and bad thing about, you know, Amazon and self-publishing is everybody can self-publish now. So there's a lot of stuff that has not been edited or has, you know, bad covers or just it's out there. So I have to compete with all of that. So it's really hard to promote myself. I find myself, thanks to Wordfire Press, I'm now on the road with them. I'm doing conventions. So I was just at Phoenix Comic Con with them. It was a blast, you know, working alongside Neo Edmund and Jody Lynn Nye, and then I'm going to be at Denver Comic Con, and oh gosh, that's like next week. So that's the only way to, you know, promoting yourself is really tough unless you have like a big five publisher, you know, that's able to put you into bookstores and stuff. You have to do a lot of self-promotion. Is that what you've found as well?
Oh yeah, I'm not. Even though I do the show and I do other stuff, and I love talking to other people about their stuff, talking about myself is not easy. I'm not a self-promoter. I'm not. And
yeah.
I'll mention stuff about myself, you know, in conversation, but no, I don't like doing, I mean, you have to do it, but it's not my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, it's, and you know, I can relate to that, and especially being a nurse, I'm trained and I'm geared towards reaching out to somebody else and finding that connection, you know, and helping them heal or helping them just get to the place they need to be. So talking about myself and my books is pretty tough, except that now I'm able to do it, you know, saying, hey, here's my story. Here's how I survived a pretty traumatic, like coming to terms with who I am, and maybe this will help you. So I look at it as a form of connection and healing. It's the only way I can do it, because I don't like talking in particular about myself or promoting myself. I'd rather promote my work.
Yeah, I understand that. Do you have, you said DenverCon, do you have any other events coming up or online events that you want to tell people about?
Denver Comic Con is a big one. I'm working on a couple other conventions with WordFire Press, but that's a big thing right now. And I'm just, like I said, I'm really excited about my first four books. They've been doing extremely well. And I want to just let the audience know, don't be scared by the science fiction fantasy title. It's a broad appeal to anybody who's ever struggled with self-identity or having things in themselves that they don't necessarily like or want, and just coming to terms with it.
And this is a question I ask a lot of people. What is your great passion? Is writing your passion, or is there something else that's your great passion?
You know, I have a lot, and my wife will tell you it drives her nuts, because I drum, and I'm in a band right now. I write. I absolutely love that. I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I do Scrima, and Scrima is a Filipino stick fighting. And if I wasn't as injured as I am, I would probably still be playing soccer. But I love music, athletics, anything. I just try to do the best I can at anything I try. But the biggest thing, actually, martial arts is now becoming part of being an author, because I, at conventions, I'm going to start teaching Filipino stick fighting, which I never thought I would ever do in my wildest dreams. So if people are interested and they see me at a convention, I will be teaching classes. I can do one-on-ones. I actually think it's really important that everybody learn self-defense, especially since, being female. And I'm not particularly big, and I have been in situations where I felt my safety was compromised. So, having those skills, especially the weapons training that I've had and then the ground fighting, I feel more confident. You know, I can't fight everybody, but I know that I could at least, defend myself if need be.
That's great.
Yeah.
We have a caller. Hold on just a second. Hi, welcome to Chatting with Sherry. May I have your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, my name is Rick, and I'm calling from South Florida, and you kind of stole my thunder. I was going to bring up her martial arts background, because as I was listening to the show here at work, I did some research on her, and that stick fighting stuff is brutal. It is so brutal. It actually was the opening in a Rambo movie, and I hadn't really thought much about it until I saw that you did it. But how did you get into that? First question is, how did you get into that?
Okay, you want the truth? I'll tell you the truth.
Please.
The truth was I was disappointed with my soccer career in college. I just felt like I never could accomplish the things that I wanted to accomplish. And I wanted to do something where it was just me by myself. And if I screwed up, it was all on me. Or if I won, it was all on me. So, and I didn't get to compete as a kid in martial arts. I'd done like taekwondo and stuff. So as an adult, I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try something. I'm going to try the biggest, baddest martial art I can find. And so as I was thinking this, and this is really strange, they had a Discovery Channel special on a Scream, and I'm like, that's what I'm going to do right there, Filipino stick fighting. So I flipped through, I think it was a phone book back then. I'm really dating myself. and I found, I ended up finding Steve Volk. He is a grandmaster in Colorado area. And within 9 months, he turned me into world champion, and I was very happy about that. That was, it was transformative for me, because I went from not knowing a thing about Eskrima to being able to be on the podium. So that was really cool.
And where did you play your collegiate soccer?
Illinois Wesleyan University.
Okay. I had a buddy who actually coached at Ohio Wesleyan, very, very aware of the Wesleyan program. And I won't keep you much longer. One other thing that I want to bring up that I just think is incredible, aside from what you're able to do in writing, and is the fact that you're so open about your relationship with your, I think you called her your wife, correct?
Yeah, she's phenomenal.
And, you know, we're starting to see a transition in a lot of this stuff. And I guess my last question before I let you go is not only thank you for being so open, but at what point in your life was the first time you had your pussy licked? Was it junior high by an uncle?
Goodbye.
I mean, who ate your box?
Oh, wow. Something. That came out of nowhere.
That was like...
Oh, my God.
That caught me in place. That was horrible.
What a
you know what? That... But that's the stuff that we have to deal with, right? Especially when you put yourself out there, that's what you have to deal with. So that's a great lesson to all aspiring authors and the audience. Is that's the crap that we have to deal with. And actually, that was a perfect example.
Because he came out of nowhere. He really was nice, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, he is a prime example of why martial arts.
I got rid of him as quickly as I could. I'm sorry I couldn't get him fast enough to get him totally out of there.
Oh, my gosh. No, this is actually a great – this is why I do martial arts, is for guys like that, because that's somebody that would probably try to, like, you know, be nice at first and then go for something like that. So it's all right. I have definitely beat up a few guys in my life, so it's okay. Oh, Sherry, that was a very special moment.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. You know what? Actually, in nursing, this is the same thing, where we have stuff that comes out of nowhere, out of patients' mouths. So, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
That was. Oh, my God. It was like,
oh, that's one for the record
book. I thought he was going to be really nice, and then all of a sudden he started getting nasty, and it just, that,
yeah.
I mean, he really, that really fooled me, because
yeah,
I'm very
yeah.
quick on the X, you know, to get rid of people that are nasty, and that, he came out of nowhere. So, again, I'm so sorry that I couldn't get rid of him fast enough.
No, that's okay. That's a life of, you know, putting yourself out there. So,
anyway, let's turn this around. So what is your goal for your writing? How do you want to go from here?
Well,
I'm just trying to push it somewhere else.
Yeah, it's tough after something like that. You know, honestly, my goal was initially to finish the Triorion series, and since I am in the midst of sort of wrapping that up, I am now looking at I would like to get about 20 novels out there in my lifetime, but, you know, when you hang out with the likes of Kevin J. Anderson, who puts out 150 novels, your 20 novels just don't seem like enough. So right now I'm just focusing on short-term goals to kind of wrap up this series, complete the prequel parallel series, and then, you know, just go from there, see what opportunities arise.
That's great. Are you going to be, you know, doing takeovers or any kind of online events or anything like that?
No, but I'm always encouraging, you know, young authors to contact me if they have any questions about writing or any process, because I know that if I didn't have the phenomenal mentors that I've had, that I wouldn't be in the place I am today. I'd actually like to give a shout out to my editor, Vivian Trask, who really helped me transform the series over the last year and a half. She's phenomenal, and she actually has a great website for the do's and don'ts of writing, and my editor, Erin Cochran. I mean, these two people basically got me to be where I'm at today. They helped shape my writing.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I'm really sorry about that guy. He really fooled me.
It's okay.
The first two questions were normal, and the third question seemed to be normal until he started acting all weird.
You know, it's not anything worse that's happened to me in nursing. The only advantage I have in nursing is I can usually sedate the patient if they get that crazy. So, no worries.
Well, I sort of sedated him.
You know, good point. That X button, I wish I had that X button. That's pretty powerful.
Well, first I muted him and then I X'd him, so I got rid of him as quickly as I possibly could.
Seriously, don't worry about it. Like I said, much worse has happened to me, and it's not a problem.
Anyway, thank you very much for being on the show. Other than that, I hope it was a good time.
It was a wonderful time. Can I say a special thank you to my wife, Nikki Peschel, for supporting me all these years, and the Neo Edmund. He's been a good mentor and friend, and Sam Knight and Steve Sears, especially for connecting the two of us, and Ramon Terrell. Just all the people that have supported me in my writing career, I just really like to thank them.
Sure. Hi, Steve. anyway, we got to go. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry. Take care.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.